welcome to the podcast, everyone.
One hell of a show. Nick Gill's taken
Gilly,
off already.
You're back.
Hang on, we wanted to talk about you behind your back.
We were
going to
do something really fun. Oh, no, God. You come back and you're here now.
You're here now.
The joke's over. Gilly had to leave somewhere really quick and we were like, oh, let's do a podcast and prank him. And prank him. We're going to prank you.
Oh, that would be great.
We're totally going to prank because we know you go home and listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
And give yourself some feedback and write yourself some notes so you would have heard this in your own time and gone, those guys.
But also a few pointers on, you know, the break.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Give us an air check.
Tight and bright.
Because you need to leave early and then come back. You're coming back in 20 minutes because you need to go somewhere. Let someone in at home?
Yeah, our roof fixer.
Oh, the roofer.
Yeah, so.
A roof fixer.
Yeah.
Was that on his business card?
Look, I'm a pretty technical dude when it comes to tradies and tools and whatnot.
Hello, roof fixer.
So I just got to let Roofy Fixie back into the house.
All right, you can go. Feel free.
Yeah, your time is of the essence for you. Anything you want to say to our...
The roof fixer might be waiting.
He is.
Anything you want to say to our audience or like about this podcast episode?
Do you know what?
Yeah.
We couldn't do this job. It literally wouldn't exist without you.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's like you're making a Grammy speech.
It is. Yeah. It's like we've won an award.
Yeah. We haven't. We do it for the fans.
Famously, we have not won no awards.
No, we've been nominated. We haven't won any.
Yeah. We have been nominated. This year's our year, boys.
I think so.
Yeah, weirdly, we lost the podcast awards to New FM when New FM ran the awards.
And if you've heard their podcast, you know that's not possible.
It's so cheeky. Remember they invited us to go to? And it was like, just so you could laugh in our faces.
Yeah, why would you invite us to your event ceremony so you could win?
You lost, losers.
Anyway, enjoy the podcast, Gilly. Enjoy the roof specialist, dude.
Yeah. Thank you so much,
guys. Give the roof fixer our regards.
I shall. The things we say, there's something about them that makes them the same. The things
we say, they're universal truths. Oh! That's right. If you have a universal truth, 0488881069, we'd love to get you on the air, give you a shout out, or slide into the DM.
Slither on in.
Nick Jess Ducko on Instagram. Tommy got in touch and he said, if you're having peanut butter on toast, it is a universal truth. You must also have butter. It is psychotic to not have butter with a spread. That's a universal
truth. Oh, I'm a big believer in that.
Nah, as someone who doesn't have spreads, only butter, I'm not sure. Gilly, you're not in agreement.
Not in agreement at all.
Okay.
Because butter's a very melty condiment.
Mm-hmm.
It already melts and moistens the bread.
Here we go.
No need for butter.
I remember the first week we did this and everyone was so on board with everyone's.
Yeah.
Now we are pick apart.
Yeah.
Producer Snooze joins us in studio. Hey, Snooze.
Hi, guys.
Do you have one you'd like to share?
Snoozy Toto.
Yes. Okay. It is a universal truth that it is always hella uncomfortable when you make eye contact with someone who is either eating a banana or sucking a lollipop. That's a universal
truth. Oh! Yeah, that's true.
And if it goes for longer than half a second, that really...
Well, are you
and
watching
you
them
eyes.
Do it? Like, don't watch them. Oh, well, it depends, but yeah.
Oh, okay. I think it's more if you make eye contact with each other, like you're mid... eating a banana and then you feel someone stare at you and then you stare at them and it's like...
The phallic-shaped objects, Or licking of a lollipop, it's a bit awkward, isn't it?
I actually work part-time in HR and I get a few complaints about Alex watching people eat bananas.
Are you just the busiest man in the building?
I can see you doing part-time in HR just quietly.
Oh, my God.
That's true fits.
You know what I see him? Because he wears all these funky jumpers and shirts or whatever. I just see him with like a clip-on tie. You know, it doesn't go all the way around. It's a magnet of sorts.
I've gone from fun Nick Gill to HR Nick
to
Gill.
To HR Nick Gill. Yeah. People and culture Nick Gill. May I share?
Please.
It is a universal truth that if you are watching a TV show or watching a movie or even if someone just starts talking about lice or nits, your head will start itching.
Yeah. Universal truth. Literally, already started itching.
Absolutely. We're rewatching Schitt's Creek because we're talking about famous TV dads yesterday.
Yes. Yeah.
And Johnny Rose came up. Anyway, the episode where Alexis gets lice, I immediately was like,
do I have it? Is it me?
Exactly.
I mean, it's the only feeling that you can convey to someone through speech. Like, I can't go, oh, your forehead's really sore, and then you feel pain. You don't. You can't go, oh, geez, your arm's really hot now. Doesn't feel hot.
No, but itch.
Your hand's a bit itchy.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's like, oh,
I literally just got a tingle.
Yeah, just say you can't scratch. You're not allowed to scratch. All of a sudden you're like,
yeah.
Gah.
Yes.
And the argument about they only go for clean scalps is no benefit. Like, no. I don't want to hear that.
All right, here we go. Nothing retains heat like a tomato in a toasty.
That's a universal truth.
Oh, they're the worst, aren't they?
It burns.
Temperature of the sun.
Forever, though. It's I've been letting this thing cool for about 4 hours.
I know. And then it comes all over you when sometimes you splat it.
Yes. Oh, great. Well, God forbid someone puts a cherry tomato in something. Oh. Forget it.
It
bursts. Bursts everywhere. All right, I'll finish this off
please.
Here. When you start a conversation with someone and they say, hey, and you say, good, thanks, how are you? You can never recover from that moment.
That's a universal truth.
Happens more often than you think.
Yeah, you might as well just walk away.
Yeah. Good thanks, good thanks. I'm such an
I'll see myself out.
Very good. As we said, slide into the DMs, Nick, Jess, Duck on Instagram. We'd love to hear your universal truths.
Yes.
Guys, I've had to send a rather stern complaint letter to a company.
About
a gripe that I've got with
their
product.
You're not one of those people.
No, Karen.
I'll let you know why in just a sec. Now,
DM'd. You've literally written a letter.
Yeah.
Handwrite or type? You're a big handwrite guy.
I typed, but sent it through via the post.
I can imagine Gilly practicing, typing out a couple of drafts.
Oh, yes.
And then going in for the handwriting.
For the cursive.
Yes.
Okay, now to get to the bottom of why, it's for Carmen's Muesli.
God, he's named them. Leslie Muesli.
Yes.
Oh, no.
That's how Gilly works out how to spell Muesli.
Carmen Muesli.
No one's going to get that. Not one person listening. It's really niche.
I made it a video yesterday. Maybe someone saw the video. Sorry.
I've brought in one of the boxes. Jess, you're just next to me. Ducko, you can just watch. But I want you to try and open the packet inside the box for me.
The plastic.
The plastic. Okay. Okay. So how'd you go?
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad. She actually looked pretty good at that.
She actually did pretty well. Which is disappointing.
Sorry.
It looked pretty easy from where I'm sitting. Yeah. Was that your whole argument?
But I also briefed Jess before we went on air to pretend as though she struggled if she didn't. Anyway.
But then you said have a crack and she had a crack. It did say have a crack.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so
I think she was actually even trying to pretend to struggle and she's like, I got it really easily.
I tried to. I was like, it's opened. Did you pre-warm it? Have you had a go at this one?
No. No, I haven't. Anyway.
Take us through your complaint now.
Well, I don't know if I need to.
No, you've said it. I'm so sorry.
So was your whole complaint that it's too hard to open?
So my problem is, and it's not with these specific ones. These ones are actually okay. But for their smaller packets, they're so hard to open without it tearing down the side. Like it always opens the top, but then always rips down the side. And then the muesli just spills all through the box.
Yes.
And so I wrote, Dear Carmen's. I'm not sure if I'm speaking directly to Carmen here. I assume so. But I just wanted to say that I love your muesli. I get very excited every morning knowing I'll start my day nourishing my soul with whole grain super seeds and additional delicious blend of flavors.
He's done the compliment sandwich here.
Yeah, I get excited to start my day with muesli. Yeah. Said no man ever.
We're making our way to the filling of the sandwich, which is going to be
it is.
The kapow.
But I just had one question. Why are your cereal bags impossible to open without them tearing? It's almost as though you've consulted with Vegas casino owners to make the top strip of the bag unopenable without a contortionist, a demolition team, George Clooney, and a forgery expert, while on the bottom half you seem to have engineered perforation lines running down the side of the bag to make them rip when you finally do open it. Sure, I could easily use a pair of scissors, but who has the time these days to enter that second drawer down and dig through the potato masher, 8 pairs of unused mini tongs, and a branded Maduri bottle opener to find them? To be clear, I don't want anything in return for this, and I have no intention of not buying your wonderful cereal because of this. It's way too delectable. But I thought I'd be the person to pass this on if you're not aware. You know, like the friend who tells their bestie they shouldn't go on Australian Idol because their voice isn't good enough because they'll just get on the blooper reel. Thanks for listening, Nick.
That was Gilly's Wednesday.
Wow.
That's on his to-do list.
Lucky you didn't just pop in yesterday, Ducko, when you had no power, because Gilly was obviously hard at work.
Yeah.
Flat stick.
Berating Carmen.
And what have we learnt? Let Jess open it.
Well, I got a reply.
Did you? They replied.
From Carmen?
Okay.
Say it from Carmen.
Well, no, because her sign-off is specifically.
Okay.
Run us through it. Not Carmen.
I'm intrigued to see what they said.
All right. Hello, Nick. The issue you're having with our packaging seal, we'd love to get some further information, as it shouldn't be as difficult as you're explaining.
And they ask, how old are you? Do you have arthritic fingers?
Yeah.
How much experience do you have?
Have you tried to get your parents to help you, little Nikki?
/ colleague.
Please let us know the variety of muesli you're referring to, the date and time code. We really appreciate you bringing this to our attention. And our, we love best friends. that don't listen to the advice from others and end up on blooper reels. So we'd all love to watch, and neither do we. We would also love to send you out a little goodie box of products, so please send through your address.
Oh, there it is.
We look forward to hearing from you soon. Not Carmen, but Tina.
She wrote, not Carmen, but Tina. Oh, we love Tina.
Yeah.
What do you reckon's in your goodie bag? Obviously,
I don't know.
More unopenable Carmen's music.
or maybe they've opened it for him and just put a peg on it. Here you go, champ.
Here you go, big guy.
3, 2, 1. Okay. Trending right now at hits.com.au.
Just quickly, before we get to the broccoli detectives, one of my mates shared a fantastic status yesterday on her Instagram, and I just wanted to share it with the Hit family. So you know those Dine and Discover vouchers that we got through COVID? They're a state government initiative.
Yep.
If you have any left over, and I'm going to put my hand up, I had my Discover vouchers left.
Yep.
The Dines went very quickly.
Yeah, and just as a quick note, you might not know you have Discovers left. They actually did a second release. So you were got 2 and 2, and then they did another sneaky one and one.
They did. So on your Service New South Wales app, where you would have had to use for your COVID check-ins, you might not have used the app in a little while, but you can go in there, and there's a little tab that says vouchers. Go in there and have a look. Sadly, today is the last day you can redeem them. If you don't think you can get anywhere today, there are 3 local businesses that are doing something very cool. So Oakvale Wildlife Park, Symbio Wildlife Park, and the Australian Reptile Park. If you go on any of their websites, it literally couldn't be easier. The first thing you'll see is redeem your New South Wales Discover vouchers here. And what these businesses are doing is you essentially donate your voucher and they are going to pass it on to a child in need. And it's not like they then have to use it today. They will convert it into a voucher.
Yeah.
So essentially, they are going to get that support from the government that we initially got.
Yep.
They will get it, but they're going to convert it into a voucher that's going to last another 12 or even 24 months.
Oh, that's good. That's
exactly.
Handy.
So they've partnered with some local charities for underprivileged kids who would never otherwise get these experiences.
Oh, great.
It couldn't be easier. They are the first thing you'll see on each of their websites. We can share a link on our story to make it really easy for you. I did it yesterday. I swear to you, it took 45 seconds. It was that simple.
That's so good.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to use it, you may as well do it.
Exactly. Exactly. You can make a kid's day. And yeah, as I said, not just today. It'll last a little bit of time. So
the memories you get from these places, our twins love all of those places. And if maybe you can't afford it, if you could maybe redeem these sorts of things, that would make a huge difference to the kids' memories.
Exactly. So Nick Jestucco on Instagram will share the links and you can get that done today before the vouchers expire.
Trending right now.
Okay, as I said, there are some broccoli detectives on the loose.
Brock cops.
Brock cops.
Brock cops.
Brock cops.
The Brock bandits?
No. Oh.
Well, the Brock bandits are being chased down by the Brock cops.
Okay.
Okay. So here's the thing. There's a few levels here. So people, apparently, for starters, are snapping the stalks off their broccoli.
Change the weight to make it cheaper.
Yeah, because apparently it's about $11.90 per kilo in some places. Mm-hmm. And so people don't want to pay for the stalks.
No.
Now, the stalk is quite nutritious, guys. There's plenty of recipes that
you can
use
do
the
things with the stalk.
Yeah. You can even just steam them with the rest of it. It's fine. Eat them first if you don't like it. But what's happening is, first level of security is a lot of supermarkets are putting up signs like this one. You must not break the stems from the broccoli. This is classified as theft. All broccoli purchases will be checked at the registers. Thanks, management.
All right, so they're calling that out?
Calling it out.
At the shelf level.
Yeah, but you might think, what are you going to do to me, sign? Well, there are actually people who are checking broccoli as it's being weighed to make sure you haven't snapped off
the stalks. Is that someone's job? Like one of the teenagers they're working there, just like, I'm going to check your broccoli, sir.
And you might think, oh, all right, I won't use those relatively clear plastic bags. I'll get the mushroom paper bag.
Yeah.
Nah, they're going to find you.
They're
sniffing them out. Will they have dog Brock cops?
Oh, imagine that. The dogs are being trained.
Remember they trained the out-of-work airport dogs to sniff COVID
yeah.
Because they weren't sniffing drugs because all the airports were closed. Yeah. Are they going to train German Shepherds to sniff broccoli?
Look, these are all great questions.
Yeah.
I don't know what level
you're the
Brock
guy
cops
now.
Are at. I don't know if it's the teenager that's rostered on that day, or if there's somebody who
has
spent
their
whole...
Is there a shift on the roster that says Brock cop today?
Like, damn, the Brock cop today.
Or if there's some person who maybe was kicked off the force for being too brutal, but he'd spent his whole life knowing the scent, the weight, and the shape of broccoli.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden he got called out, you know.
Yes.
Somebody walked into his office and said, "I got one more job for you." And he's like, "You son of a bitch."
And come
then
on, man.
They shook hands and then he shot off and he's now the Brock cop.
He's the Brock cop. Yeah. Stationed at all the self-serve checkouts.
Yeah. It must be very common, though, that people are doing this a lot to get Brock cops onto it.
Absolutely. That's really sad.
Yeah. Well, people always have a system, you know, whether they're putting in, I don't know, capsicums in as carrots or something
classic gear.
But then they put in the weight pads and they identified how weight it is and what cameras and blah blah blah.
Yes. Oh yes, the cameras at the checkout.
Yeah.
What's with those checkouts? Always, you know, they always ask you like, "Oh, error," you know, using your own bag. You're like, "Yes, I've already said that. The bag's there, and I put the thing in the bag. Stop asking me about the error."
Yes.
And it goes red. Then your lady comes over. You're like, "I'm sorry, I'm doing nothing wrong."
But she's working up on someone else. Are you standing there? You're holding up the queue. Oh God.
And also, I wonder that robot. You know the one that's in Mayfield Woolies. It's also in Charlestown. Yeah. Like, is he actually undercover Brock cop?
Maybe.
That robot cruises around, it catches you, you know?
Oh my God, they reprogrammed him.
Yeah, and you're just in aisle 4 in a showdown. Everyone else leaves.
Yeah, that guy's walking funny. He might have concealed Brock. Get him!
And also, I feel like I could tackle that robot over pretty easily. What's it going to do?
Its center of gravity is very high.
it's like Gilly.
Take me to bed. I'll sleep like a log with a bedsheet stash. Tell us your sins and you can win yourself cash. What the hell's that morning breath? Good God, let me get you a mint.
Yeah, $500 of bedshed cash could be yours. All you got to do is hit us up at Nick, Jess, Ducko on socials. DM us your partner's weird bedroom habits. Could be anything.
We have been around the world.
Haven't we? We've learned some weird things.
We have had some weird things.
Cotton buds in the hair to sleep when
he
curls
right.
it.
That's right. Setting and resetting of alarms.
Fighting dragons and then weeing on the floor.
Yep. Yes. Now we go to Bulwarra Heights. Amy, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Excellent, thank you. You got in touch on the Nick Jess Ducko Instagram page, and you too have a weird partner sleeping next to you most nights. What are they up to?
So what he does, and he's been doing it for years, he strips his pillows in his sleep, like takes the pillowcase off and doesn't even remember doing it.
That's hard to do, not in your sleep.
I know. So it happens really regularly. He doesn't remember doing it. He strips the pillowcases in his sleep.
At yours too? Like, will he pull the pillow out from under you, or is he just his own?
No, it's just his own.
Okay.
It's his personal pillowcase and pillow. But, yeah, he takes the pillowcases off in his sleep.
Where does a pillowcase end up?
All over the bed. I have to remake them in the morning.
Wow. Luckily, the pillow, I think, is the easiest of the things to do in the bed-making process.
Oh, if you started getting to the fitted sheet or the mattress cover,
I know.
You're out of here.
That's a pain.
I think you should thank your lucky stars, Amy, that it is just the pillow. If he started pulling off the fitted sheet.
It's a bit of a worry, though.
It is very strange.
Very weird.
Have you tried different fabrics, Amy? Maybe in his sleep he's realising, I don't like the cotton.
Yeah.
I need it off me. Have you tried, you know, maybe the silk one?
Egyptian silk.
Better for your hair.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
That's so weird. What about?
When he wakes up the next day, does he say anything or is it just happening again?
Why are you putting the pillowcases back on?
I asked him about it. He doesn't remember.
Oh, wow.
He actually refuses that he does it. He goes, I didn't do that. I'm like, well, you do it all the time.
You need to film him. That's what you need to do. You need to set up a camera.
Does it wake you up in the middle of the night, Ames?
No, it's very stealthy.
Maybe what you've got to do is chuck like a little Velcro strip on his side's pillowcase and then that will wake him up and then he'll realise that he's doing it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anything will wake him up.
Right, okay. Okay.
It's bizarre.
He doesn't take anything else off. It's just the pillowcases?
Yeah, correct.
So bizarre.
Pyjamas stay on.
Yeah.
The doona cover stays on. Yep. Oh, God, if he was undoing the doona cover.
Oh, geez. Oh,
see
you later.
World
War III. That'd be divorced now.
Oh, absolutely. It's a couple of fans.
We need to go. I need to know why.
Yeah, I know. It's
at
so
least
funny.
With the cotton bud guy yesterday, we could say it was relaxing, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm worried about what he's dreaming about, really. Mm.
Oh, do we think he's undressing his
pillow? Or maybe undressing Dobby from Harry Potter.
Excuse me?
Because Dobby looks like he's wearing a pillowcase.
He wears a pillowcase.
Or he's got a bit of sexual frustration. You know, and they say people who like rip up their straws and rip up their lids of drinks and stuff, it's like they have sexual frustration. Maybe he's just like, I'm going to rip these pillowcases off, you know?
Yes. That is bizarre.
Bizarre. It's very strange, but it's worthy of $500 of bedshed cash.
Oh,
all yours.
Yes! You can get.
No, thank you. You can get up to 50% off during a Bedshed Rutherford stock take sale. And that's all yours, Amy.
Oh, thank you so much.
They're great. They're a great team there, Amy. Why don't you go ask one of them, hey, what can I do?
Pillows.
For pillows. What can I do to curb my partner's undressing of the pillows?
Yeah.
Pillow stripping problem.
Thanks, Amy. 131060 are asking, have you ever walked out on a movie? If so, what was it? And for getting involved, best caller, have we got $100 to spend at Reading Cinemas?
Oh, I love that.
Because so you don't walk out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because we know that going to the movies, it's quite the experience. You know, you've got to pick your times. You've got to coordinate your friends or your family.
Yeah.
To hate a movie so much that you walk out or whatever the circumstances were, that'd be really upsetting.
Yeah.
So let's get them back into the cinema.
Yeah. You wouldn't walk out of Reading. It's a first-class cinema experience.
Amen.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Exactly. Producer Snooze yesterday sent around a bit of a chat being like, hey, does anyone want to come see Elvis?
Did she?
Yeah. Oh, no, you didn't get that.
No,
I didn't get that either.
Did you? You ended up going, Producer
Snooze.
Who
did you send that to, Alex?
I didn't text it. I had asked around the office.
Oh,
okay. And you went.
Well, obviously you texted Jess.
Must have been in the bathroom.
Quickly, you texted Jessica.
I was in the office at the time.
Oh, were you?
I was in the office till about lunchtime.
Yeah. I wasn't.
Jess, what the hell?
So you texted Jess and asked.
You went to the movies is what the point I was trying to get at. You
yes,
saw Elvis. What did you think?
Dead to me.
Yeah, I don't really care what she thought, to be honest.
Guys. Didn't mind it. I thought Austin Butler was fantastic.
Yep, Tom Hanks. It's been called his career worst.
Well, I mean, he rocked the fat suit well.
Okay.
I'll say that.
But you lasted through the whole movie.
I did.
It's getting very mixed reviews, Elvis.
It is getting mixed reviews. Monique got in touch, answered this very question for us. She said, tonight, I walked out of Elvis.
Oh.
I did not like it. It was so boring and from the wrong point of view, which is interesting. Now, I've not seen the film. I don't know what she's referring to there. Little to no performance, bad acting, wasted my time, Monique writes. So this hottest film, didn't it get a 12-minute standing ovation?
At Cannes
Film Festival.
That's in front of all the actors and director, though, so maybe they're being polite.
Well, to the everyday lady, i.e. Monique.
And Monique's time is money.
Amen. Amen. Monique has
said, her time.
Monique has said, I walked out of Elvis.
Mm. So wrong it started, point of view. Wrong is it from the point of view from a bee or something?
Maybe it's more from Tom Hanks' point of view in discovering Elvis.
Mm.
I don't know. I haven't seen it. But
anyway, she walked out of arguably one of the hottest films.
Yeah.
So we have to ask, are there other movies that you've gone, I'm not going to waste. Life's too short.
Yeah.
I'm getting out of here.
I've never walked out of a film. I don't like doing it. It's a whole thing. I find it disrespectful.
Yeah. Yeah. But they've already got your money. You bought the
ticket.
Yeah,
I know. But come on. If I was in a film and someone walked out, I'd be like, oh.
Yeah. You
know?
Tom Cruise's phone would go off and I'd be like, Tom, somebody just walked out of a film in Newcastle, Australia.
He'd be on the next plane.
Yeah, he'd be over here right now.
What?
I tell you what, though, I was close the other way when I saw the newest Jurassic World. That film sucks.
Someone commented that. Yeah. Dominion?
Yeah, whatever it is. I love all the Jurassics. I love them. It's some of my favorite franchises, but that film sucks.
Really? How far in before you started looking at Morgan going, should we go?
Well, there was probably about 45 to 50 left where I was like, let's just call it. We know what's going to happen. And we both looked at each other and we both like sighed and then didn't answer the question and just kept watching. Yeah.
That's tough, man.
Yeah.
I've only walked out of a film once.
Mm.
I reckon
what was
I
it?
Was probably 15. It was Twister.
No.
Bill Paxton.
Whoa, that's a great movie.
It is a great movie. And I'd even
Back
seen
in the
it.
90s.
Come yeah, on. And I'd even seen it before. But the thing was, it's kind of embarrassing. But I was young. I don't even know if I'd kissed somebody at this stage, but I'd been dating this girl
money
in inverted commas.
Money in the jar.
No, were you seeing each other?
Seeing each other. For 2 weeks. We'd been on dates. And on top of that, to be very clear, we were holding hands. I'd made the very nerve-wracking move of grabbing her hand in the cinema and she reciprocated. So we're holding hands.
Movie dates in high school are tough, man.
Oh,
they're nervous for a dude.
As if you even remember seeing the first, 40 minutes while you're thinking, how do I reach over? Yeah. How do I reach
four
over?
4 inches seemed like the biggest.
And then do you put the armrest up? It's like, I remember that conundrum.
That's really awkward. Yeah. Is your arm more on her lap or is her arm more on your lap? Or are you just like both doing the tucked elbow and leaning on the armrest?
So this is back in the days. We didn't even have armrests.
Oh, that's easy.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so we're holding hands, right? Been seeing each other for 2 weeks, and I thought, look, admittedly, like 25 minutes into the movie, maybe not the best time, but I thought I'd go for our first kiss together.
Okay. Yeah. That's when things are starting to heat up in Twister.
Yeah, it is. They're not flying, the balls. They're not flying.
That's a tough movie to start tongue punching with someone.
Totally, because it's quite tense. Yeah. You know? You don't want to miss a minute.
No.
Anyway, so she pulled away and gave me a little slap.
Oh!
Whoa.
And like 14 or 15-year-old Nick was very thrown by this. You know, taking me so long to build up that courage. As you know, I'm... got the nickname The Closer because I'm so bad at this stuff. So it's a big move for me. And
did
I was
she
so...
give you that nickname, this girl?
And so I was so thrown by it that I walked out of the movie.
What?
You walked out of Twister?
Yeah.
And did you ever speak to that girl again?
Did you leave her in there?
Yeah.
Did she finish Twister? So she saw the
cow. I don't know. I've never spoken to her again, probably.
You've never spoken to her again because she wouldn't kiss you. Like, well, I'm out of here.
She would have seen in the preview the cow flying around. She would have been like, I haven't seen that yet. I've got to hang out for that at least.
Oh, my God. So you didn't go to the same school?
Gilly,
no, no.
I was at an all-boys school.
Gilly left. I put his Walkman in. Just. But I will go
down with it. It started raining.
She did it again.
Dido didn't even exist as an artist.
Mate, Dido was playing when you were born.
Please. Dido was made for that moment.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's funny, isn't it? Kissing fails in the movies is another phoner on its own. Or 13.
Yeah.
I remember trying to kiss my first, not was my first kiss, but a girl in the movies. And I was like, do you want to? I actually asked. I was like, would you like?
Do you remember what the movie was?
No, but I was in the front row. I can't remember. We were in the front. Yeah, it was a sold out cinema.
So the whole cinema.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I was like, the premiere of something.
Do you want to kiss? And she's like, why would we do that? And I remember being like, yeah, so true. Why would we do that? cool. Turn back to my mate who was on the other side. He's like, how'd it go? I'm like, she just want to kiss. He's like, what are we doing here?
Did you leave? Did you and your mate
I watched the whole movie. And then she sent me a text later that day being like, sorry, I realized maybe we should have kissed next time. There was never a next time.
Oh, I'm so sorry, man.
Oh, my God. You should have left. That's so awkward.
Well, I'm a bit more respectful to a lady like that, Jess. You know, if you don't want to kiss me, that's fine. I'll just sit here and watch the movie with you.
Oh, yeah. She don't want to sit next to you, it would appear. You left.
So we didn't even have mobiles for a text. I would have had to call her home phone, ask her parents if I could speak to her, and then ask her why she slapped me.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Can we turn this into what movie?
Couple of movie fails.
Yeah. 13, 10, 60. Have you ever walked down a movie? Or did you get rejected in the film? Give us a call. We got movie tickets up for grabs. We'll do it next.
Rhiannon's in Singleton. Good morning, Ree.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Excellent, thank you. Have you walked out of a film?
I have. I worked in the cinema industry for 19 years, mm-hmm. thousands of movies, and I walked out on The Other Guys.
What?
Will Ferrell.
Whoa. Hold on. I'm going to be The Other Guys here.
Lions don't like water. If you'd placed it near a river or some sort of fresh water source, that makes sense. But you find yourself in the ocean, 20-foot waves, I'm assuming it's off the coast of South Africa, coming up against a full-grown 800-pound tuna with his 20 or 30 friends, you lose that battle. You lose that battle 9 times out of 10.
What, Brianna, does that even mean anything to you?
No, it was awful. I love Will Ferrell, but that movie was a disaster.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's his best.
I love that movie.
Oh, no. Me too, Brianna.
I love The Other Guys.
Oh, come on, like Talladega Nights.
Nah, it's on par with Anchorman.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Anchorman's way above Other Guys.
And him and Mark Wahlberg work really well together.
We're going to have to have a whole other conversation about
The Rock couldn't even save it.
The Rock. Well, he does go early.
We're going to have a whole other conversation about Will's best film.
I know.
Blades of Glory.
Most famous Will Ferrell.
Oh,
Blades of Glory.
That's a ripper too.
Blades of Glory.
Oh, there's so many
goodies. Wow, Rhiannon. Controversial. Okay.
Very controversial.
Oh, Ellie is in Curry. Ellie, have you walked out of a film?
Yeah, I was actually dragged out by my 6-year-old.
Okay. Oh, your 6-year-old. So it wasn't a kid's movie?
It was a kid's movie. I'd taken my 4-year-old and 6-year-old to see Paddington.
Perhaps you'd like an English name.
An English name?
Paddington.
Paddington. I like it.
I've never seen it.
No, neither. What? Because it's a kids' movie, I guess.
It's a kids' movie, and I thought it'd be totally harmless. So I've taken them in. We've bought the popcorn. We've sat down. We're all settled. And it starts off with this massive earthquake, and he's already orphaned. He's an orphan bear, and he's living with his auntie and uncle. And in this massive earthquake, they both die.
Oh, Jesus, so, that's how it starts?
That's how it starts. So he heads off to London, and then in London, he's getting hunted down by a taxidermist who stuffs all of this stuff to put in a museum.
Wow, okay.
And that was it. My daughter was done.
It was too depressing.
Oh, my God. I mean,
in Paddington's defense, pretty much every Disney movie, the parents die in the first few scenes.
Yeah, true. Yes. Very true. Yeah. Hello, Frozen.
Frozen.
There you go, Paddington. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, they actually are quite heavy initially.
Yeah.
They always teach you a good lesson, though. But thank you, Ellie. Bonnie's in Maitland. Bonnie, what movie did you walk out on?
I walked out on Top Gun twice, but it wasn't my fault.
The new Top Gun, Bonnie?
Yes, the new Top Gun.
It wasn't your fault. Why?
Did you get rejected kissing someone too?
No. No, nothing like that. So the first time was at the drive-ins. And we have a ute, so we've set up the back, nice pillows and stuff, and it just started, and it's just poured rain on us.
Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah, so we were saturated. We just had no choice. We had to leave.
Yep.
And then the second time, I was with a client. I'm a support worker,
mm-hmm.
and we were just sitting in the movies, and he's just going, "No, I want to go home and go to sleep."
Okay, Tom Cruise, Miles Teller.
The first 20 minutes.
Oh, Bonnie, you got to check it out. It's a great film.
I'm really keen to watch it. I just haven't had the chance.
Third time's the charm.
Third time's the charm.
Yeah. Should we go to Tiffany in Blackalls Park? Good morning, Tiffany. What movie did you walk out of?
It was the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Okay.
You know what? I'm not going to fight you on that one. I think that's pretty good.
It wasn't actually because of the movie. It was because my grandmother took me to watch it and fell asleep and was snoring that loud in the cinema. I was that embarrassed, I walked out.
And left her snoring? Please tell me you left Nan in there.
Yeah, I did. Until the movie finished.
Oh, no!
She took you to a nice thing and you've walked out on her.
That final scene, where they sing together. Oh, it's a great... Anyway, it's a very uplifting movie, but she'll never know.
She'll never know.
Should we give Tiffany a prize?
Great call. $100 to spend at Reading Cinemas for first-class cinema experience. Visit Reading Cinemas.
Is your Nan still there? Is she okay?
No, she's long gone.
Oh, sorry. I realized as soon as I said that. Sorry, Tiffany.
Great story.
Great memories.
Great story, yeah.
Great memories.
3, 2, 1. Okay. Trending right now at hits.com.au. We only had Marky Hughes on the other day on the show.
That's right, earlier this week.
Yes, Beans Brain Cancer Round, of course, happening. This round all kicks off tonight, the NRL. Manly taking on Storm. But one thing that is happening, this is the third walk they've done. The second time heading into the stadium, McDonald Jones for the Knights game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the big three trek.
That's right, 150Ks. These are amazing people who are literally putting their bodies on the line. They've stopped their work commitments, stopped everything else going on to raise awareness and raise money for the Mark Hughes Foundation. They're going to walk in before the Knights take on the Titans this weekend.
Yes, yeah. And one man who is doing that is Billy Peden. Good morning, mate. How are you going?
Oh, good morning, guys. I'd like to say I'm well, but I'm a little bit sore.
Okay. Billy, where are you right now?
We're just literally walking into Terrigal, near the Crown Plaza, which the Laundry Hotel Group kindly put us up last night. So we've had to walk back into there and then onwards up towards Newcastle. I think we're in Kay's Beach tonight.
And when you say you're hurting, what's hurting most? You got blisters? You got chafe? You got muscle soreness?
All of the above, but for me, mostly it's my little toes, surprisingly. But there's been all sorts of overuse injuries. Let's say lots of dirty chafe and some very massive blisters that really aren't very attractive.
Need lots of tubs of Vass, Billy. Just rub the Vass everywhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's this stuff called Aussie Butt Cream. It works wonders.
It's actually
the ABC.
Is that actually a thing? Aussie butt cream.
I'm literally not even joking.
Wow.
Aussie butt cream works wonders.
Don't give your product a fancy name. Just get to the point.
Get to the point.
Yeah.
I can imagine someone's brought that home and gone, this isn't what I thought it was.
Mind you, I'll be expecting the check in the mail.
Yeah.
Great.
You're the biggest ambassador. How many of you are on the walk, Bill? How many are with you?
I don't know the exact numbers, but it's just over 40. So just 40 everyday people gone out of their way, take a week's annual leave, put their bodies through hell and all trying to make a difference, trying to raise money and awareness for for such a horrible thing called brain cancer. And, you know, obviously, I think you mentioned just before, just over $150,000 just from this book alone. It's pretty humbling to be a part of. And there's a real buzz in the group that people feel like they're actually getting out there and helping.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Can you name drop anybody around you who's doing the walk with you?
I can name drop. We got the lovely Emma Lawrence. We got Murray Connellan. We got we had Mark Hughes for a little while, and he's quit today to go and do some media commitments. But I won't be too harsh on him. We got Kuyuata, who turns up every year, and he's obviously a fast twitch animal. So when it comes down to the longer stuff, it doesn't suit him. But he's always got a smile on his face. I'm looking at him now. He's dancing.
He's dancing.
He's always got a smile on his face, and he keeps the group happy. And
that's
just
good.
a great fella. So there's a really good feeling within the group.
Yeah, we're looking forward to you guys coming into Newcastle, of course, tomorrow night's when you get and walk that last 50K of the 150. I will say, though, at the event we were doing the other night for the Big Three Trek, and I was emceeing, Mark Hughes was there. Mark paid Billy the ultimate of compliments, I think. He said, "There's no man I would rather be in the trenches with and do anything for, and he would do anything for you than Billy Peden. The guy does everything.
Wow.
He's a battler. He gets to the next you, and he always digs deep and backs up for you, and he's doing it again right now. So, Billy, stay in the trenches, mate. Keep fighting, and we look forward to seeing you in Newcastle tomorrow night."
Thanks, Sean. Sounds like I'll have to now after a wrap like that.
Absolutely. Make sure you donate as well. You can head to the Mark Hughes Foundation website or the Big Three Trek on Instagram, and all the links are there.
Yeah.
You just hear, like, these are, as you said, Bill, just everyday people.
Yep.
Obviously, names you'll know, but a lot that you don't know.
Yep.
Like, you know, these are just amazing people who just want to help the cause.
Yeah. Legends.
Absolute legends. So $5, $10, $50, whatever you can do, get round at markhughesfoundation.com.
Yeah. We'll have a few steel cities waiting for you, Bill, when you get in.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm looking. That's driving me home, that.
Very good.
Very good. Enjoy the walk, mate. Good luck with it all. Here's Avicii, Tay Brother on Hit 106.9.
Yeah, I would love to be, but I might not be. I might not even be on the show tomorrow.
Why?
If I'm not, I'll be in the slammer with my four-year-old daughter, Harriet.
Are we sending Gilly to jail? Yes!
Oh, my God. Who's the mastermind? I feel like Harriet. Are you some sort of accomplice?
Yeah. Okay, so 131060. We want you to tell us, what did your kids steal?
Oh, God.
Because, all right, here's the story, right? We've just moved house, and we don't have a, like, laundry basket thing that you have in your room to throw your dirty clothes into. So we go to Kmart, grab a laundry hamper.
Yeah.
Take the kids along. Get home. Yeah. I'm sitting in, setting up the hamper inside, and I hear this bounce of a ball against a wall. And I'm like, I don't know that type of bounce. It's a bit rubbery for the balls that we own.
I don't know that type of bounce.
I was just going to leave it, Jess.
Is that... No, we're not leaving it, Ducko. Is that the most dad thing he's ever said?
Yeah. But also, like, there's nothing more sad than a kid bouncing a ball against a wall on its own.
Harriet's already in prison. She's just got one rubber ball.
Yeah, at least they're getting training for prison.
Be 1 hour of PT a day. Anyway, so I went out because I was a little bit confused. You know, maybe a ball had come over a fence. Maybe they'd found it on the ground and it's a bit dirty. So, you know, want to stop that.
All right, at least Glenn 20 it or something.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nick H. Gill to the rescue.
That's right. Yep. I also love that he was preoccupied at setting up a hamper. Like, don't you buy them their basket? Don't you just put it in the bathroom or the laundry room?
Yeah.
It's a bamboo flat pack.
Oh, it's a bamboo flat pack.
I have the same one.
Double?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I didn't realise you had to set up laundry hampers. Just buy them done.
Oh, mate.
Is it a few little screwing in things you need to do?
Yeah, okay. Wow.
You can still stuff it up, trust me.
Oh, yeah, you can. A few steps had to be reversed. Anyway, so I go outside and there's Harriet with a brand new kind of neon blue ball that she's throwing against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, "Where did you get that, Harriet?" And she goes, "Kmart." It's like, what?
Oh.
We didn't buy a ball. How did you get it out? And she goes, "In my pocket."
Classic
stitch
up.
I can't even take it back now because it's all scuffed up from being thrown against the wall.
No.
Oh, it's damaged.
And Harriet has stolen a ball from Kmart.
You didn't do that thing that a lot of parents do. They march them back and
make them apologize, learn life lessons.
Or take it out of the piggy bank.
Yeah, well, she'll think stealing's okay
well,
now.
Well, daddy's just allowed it to happen there.
Daddy's fast and loose. He lets me steal balls.
We did have a little, you know, kneel down next to them, eye to eye chat.
Yeah.
Hand on the shoulder.
Hand on the shoulder. And I feel as though it went in.
But did you talk about jail? Did you get to that point where you found yourself going, he would have.
And then you would go on to the Supreme Court step. And then when you go to jail, this is what happens. Oh. And you could be sentenced and then the appeal. And
yes, and then taking a step backwards about how she's really interrupted the supply chain and how the economy works. And if we don't pay for things, then, you know, workers don't get compensated. And to go both ends of the spectrum.
Although these are all great ideas, it was just a few days after Harriet was crying uncontrollably because we were in a shop. Because Otis literally just went round the corner for half a second, just ran round the corner, and Harriet started bawling her eyes out. He's going to get kidnapped. He's going to get kidnapped.
Oh, so we've gone too far in the past.
Because I'd said in the past, don't run off on me in the shops, because if I lose you, you could get kidnapped.
Okay.
And then Harriet assumed that as soon as you're out of sight, you're immediately kidnapped. So, yeah, it was fresh off the back of that chat. I didn't want to bring up jail straight away, because she probably would have started bawling her eyes out and holding her wrists out for the handcuffs.
Just waiting outside. Yeah. I'm sorry, sir.
I've got two suggestions for you, Gilly.
Okay.
Firstly, have you ever thought of getting your kids on leads?
Okay.
So, oh, the monkey backpack. Yeah.
Do you know what? Before kids, I used to mock people with the leads. Yeah. And then since having twins, I'm like, you know what? That's not a bad idea.
You could wear them around your waist like I run my dog. And they can just run either side of you.
Little bear backpacks with the lead on them.
You know when you see people who are walking two dogs, but it's one lead that just breaks into two at the end.
The connectors.
Forks at the end. Could you get one of those?
Little twinny leads.
That's great.
Little twinny. So it's one row, but two little, you know, individual
The height difference is probably too big.
Oh, yeah. Otis is a man.
Harry's probably getting strangled. Otis is getting tripped over.
Second suggestion. Are we looking at this the wrong way?
Mm-hmm.
You could start something here. Kids stealing, you know what I mean? You can get things out of this.
Ah.
More bouncy Harriet. Balls.
whatever she can
you're on ball duty. Otis, you're on lookout.
Exactly.
Me, I'm on nonchalance.
You're on hamper perusal. Yeah.
All I'd come out with is balls and like Kinder Surprises, but still, you're a start low.
you'd win out of that. You love a Kinder Surprise.
Right. So, right, stop.
So 13, 10, 60. What did your kids steal?
Yeah, my goodness.
Okay, tickets to the night's up for grabs just by calling us and dobbing your kid.
Mm. Mm. Do you wake up in the middle of the night in cold sweats?
Yeah, every night.
Thinking about, you know.
Oh, yeah, thinking about
the
that.
Thief you're raising. Yeah.
Did you let her keep the ball, by the way?
Yeah, well, we have to. It's too scuffed up. We've had them steal something in the past and we've taken it back, but this is
now used.
Yeah, it's now used. And I think it was 90 cents.
In those big bins they
and
have.
I'm not, yeah, and I'm not saying that justifies it, you know?
No, it doesn't.
But I feel as though, you know, the scuffed ball taking
this is hurting him
back.
So much,
it
isn't
is,
it?
It's it really is. The moral compass is absolutely spinning out of control. Yeah. You better keep an eye on her now.
Don't steal kids.
If that was my kid, I'd be like, oh, can I play? 13, 10, 60. Kids stealing, give us a call.
Evie, have you had a kid who stole something?
Good morning, guys. Yes, I have. My son, this was a couple of years ago, we went to Woolworths and I had to get some stuff. We got home and my son was chewing some gum and I'm like, where did you get that gum from? He's like, oh, I got it from the shop. So he did ask me if he could have some gum and I'm like, no. So we just wanted it, so he stole it.
Oh, stuff you, Mum. I'll get it myself.
Take it myself. And he just blows bubbles in front of you.
Yeah.
See, Mum, I can do it on my own.
Sounds like a Hubba Bubba kid.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Sound like a big Hubba Bubba vibe.
You're not taking that back.
No.
I love Hubba Bubba.
They're so humongous.
They're awesome, aren't they? So chewy.
Yeah.
You're a grape guy?
I like grape. Really like grape sour stuff, you know, unless I get into my palate.
Phoebe in Bulwarra Heights. What did your kids steal?
So we were out for lunch with my family and I gave her like $10 to go into the kids' room, like a play area thing. And I realised a couple of minutes later there was a lot of chocolate coming out of the kids' room and everyone was like, oh, she must be winning. And I was like, yeah, like she's pretty good at like the claw machines. And then more chocolate kept coming out, so that's a bit sus. Went in, had a look. She had her arm up in the machine and was like scooping out all the chocolate from the
that's
machine.
That's brilliant. How's she even get she's that? Robin Hood. She's just handing it out all out.
Take from the rich, give to the poor. Take from the claw and give to the kids.
Love that.
How does she even get it out of there? Get a little hand up in there and weasel it round?
That's exactly what she did.
That's bizarre.
Oh, my God. She still probably had the $10 on her. You know? Yeah. I don't need to spend Mama's cash.
Probably 11 by that stage, selling it off.
Steph's in Gilliston Heights. Good morning, Steph.
Hey, guys. How
are
you going?
Excellent. Thank you. When has your kid stolen something?
When he was 2 years old, we were in JJ's doing some shopping, and I walked out of a shop about to walk into another shop and looked down and noticed he's got a shirt in his hand. So I think, as you know, being a parent trying to push a stroller through some of the clothes shops with tables with clothes dangling off everywhere, he must have just put his little arm out and grabbed it and decided that's what we were taking for the day.
Okay. It's very appetizing for the little two-year-olds and the prams.
Yeah.
Sure, though. That's big time. He's getting big league there.
That's right. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I don't like what mom's put me in today.
No.
The shirt's nicer.
Take the shirt, man. Yeah. Kids and old people can get away with it, you know, really elderly and really young.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Same spectrum.
Yeah, we're in that middle period where we shouldn't steal.
Mel's into Lara. Mel, wrap us up.
Damn.
What? All right. What is your kid stolen? Hello.
Hello. My child stole a bra that was about three sizes too big for me.
Oh, not even useful.
You can't take back undies, can you? No, you can't. I'll set the scene for you, though. I was living in Western Sydney at the time, early 20s, heavily pregnant with one in the stroller. And I walked through Best and Less, walked through the shopping centre about 200 metres down the other end of the shopping centre. I realised what had happened, and I panicked. So what I did, I picked up the bra, took it off my kid, and threw it at the information desk and ran out the shopping centre.
That's great.
Great call.
Wiped off the fingerprint. Yeah.
Flick it back in like a slingshot. Yeah. We'll give you tickets, you and three mates, to the Knights Titans.
Fabulous, thank you.
Tomorrow night, Mel. Take the kids. Maybe don't visit the Knights merch store, you know?
Yeah, maybe not.
My group chats, boys, one of the girls has written a moral dilemma for us to solve.
Okay.
Thought I'd bring it to the Brains Trust. She writes, me and my partner had my partner's friend living with us for quite a few months, close to a year, but he has moved out. He's left a bunch of things. Unfortunately, he moved out not under the best of circumstances.
Never ends well with some roommates, does it?
Never ends well. It does sound like maybe it was this girl and her partner's place and this guy's renting. Maybe he wasn't on the lease, but it seems like he's come in at some point. But apparently was very late with rent. They were left short quite often, and now they've had a massive falling out and he's moved out. But he's left quite a bit of junk, yeah? She's saying, we've just gotten around to sort of clearing some stuff out. Part of the junk he's left behind is a bunch of playing cards from this specific card game. She doesn't mention the card game, but she said, I remember him talking about them being quite valuable.
Okay.
I've since Googled some of the cards in his collection and I've seen that some of the specific cards are worth a pretty penny.
Okay.
Some of them are worth upwards of $200. Should I contact this ex-friend? We have not spoken since he's moved out. My partner is still livid because, yes, abused the kindness. Or can I just sell the cards to recoup the rent payment that he left us short for? What do you guys think? That's a tough one because I know when friendships end, the person who reaches out first, that's a big person.
Yeah.
That takes a lot to build that bridge again with a friend you think has wronged you. I didn't speak to a mate for a year once and she wrote me a handwritten letter and put in my letterbox.
Wow.
You know what I mean? That takes a lot.
Yeah.
But this one, I'm kind of like, oh, if you can make reparations by getting your money back, kind of even Steven.
Yeah.
Clean the slate.
Do we have any idea of the value of the cards?
She said some of them upwards of $200.
Okay.
I suppose if they were so valuable and he knew that, he would have already asked, right?
Why would he have left that? Yeah. Exactly. If he knew they could be money makers. Mm. Yeah. Or they were even collectible and he loved them. But he's just obviously hightailed it out of there because things got so tense and awkward.
I know. Because, like, legally, I think if you find money on the ground, you're supposed to have a proportionate effort to find the owner based on how much money it is.
All right. So I find $10,000 in a suitcase.
Massive effort to try and find the owner.
It says,
find
belongs to Nick H. Gill, but I can't find him. Then that's mine.
Oh, I've accidentally scuffed that off. Yeah. I forgot what the name
is. Why is there whiteout over that? No, I don't know.
What's the reasonable effort, like putting it on Facebook or going to the cops? Because how do I trust that that's the person who's claiming it? How do I know it's theirs?
I don't know, but I guess if it's $2, you look around and see if anyone's actively looking for $2.
That's equivalent.
The minute you say, has anyone lost this? Someone goes, yeah, I have. have.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
See, I feel like she can go for gold here.
I think so too.
It depends. Like, maybe you give it a bit more time, and if he doesn't come to you within
all right,
that time.
All right.
It's like a lost and found at a pub or something. You know how pub owners and stuff, people leave their clothing items behind, jackets.
Yep.
It's like, we'll hold on to it for 6 months. If no one comes after 6 months, it's yours.
It's a star free for all.
Star free for all.
I used to work at Melbourne Airport through the international area in duty free, and someone left behind a pair of Louis Vuitton sunglasses.
Oh, my gosh.
But because I found them and gave them to the airport, my name got attached to them. A year went by. I don't know. That must be their protocol. And I got a call. No one ever claimed those Louis Vuitton sunglasses. I think they're about $400 worth.
Wowee.
Yes, and I ended up selling them and got a bit of dosh. So thank you to that person who never followed up.
There you go.
Because, all right, so a proportion amount of time.
I think so.
How much would you allow for a $200 playing card?
It's also
this game is.
I'd go 6 months.
Yeah. You go six?
Yeah.
Okay, that's generous. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
I think at the very least, they need to just send a message. Hey, you want any of this junk that you've left behind?
All right.
Oh.
But we hate the guy. Yeah. He abused our kindness, Gilly.
I know. But that's not really a reaching out. It's just like, get your stuff out of my house.
Yes, I've left it on the porch.
Yeah.
Yep, come get it. We don't have to talk even.
Yeah.
If he doesn't come.
And the Yu-Gi-Oh cards can be sold if he doesn't come and grab
it
them.
It might be Yu-Gi-Oh.
If, I don't think it could be. He wouldn't forget Yu-Gi-Oh.
You wouldn't leave behind. Doesn't
no,
matter how.
God, no, you're not leaving behind a rare Yu-Gi-Oh.
Doesn't matter how angrily you've left an apartment.
Yeah.
You know, falling out with your mate. You're taking your Yu-Gi-Oh collection.
Yeah, so people who collect Yu-Gi-Oh haven't showered or cleaned themselves much in months, really.
And they are constantly up to date with the market value, the black market value of their best Yu-Gi-Oh card.
Their pickup line is about the Yu-Gi-Oh cards often. So if he doesn't have that, how's his pickup line hold any weight?
100% in his Tinder and Bumble and Hinge bios.
Yeah.
Not
a fish. It's a Yu-Gi-Oh.
It's not a fish.
And the partners would know if you're having a rough day. It'd be like, babe, are you okay? You haven't even checked the value of your Yu-Gi-Ohs today.
Quickly, give me the financial review. What's Yu-Gi-Oh sitting at? The stock market.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll go back.
Go back.
Give it a couple months.
Yeah,
and
I
then
think
sell,
so.
Sell, sell.
Yeah. Gilly, are you happy with that?
Yeah. Sounds
very
good.
Hit 106.9,
10K Alpha Bucks. You know how it works. You have 30 seconds, 10 questions, all starting with the same letter. Have to take your first answer. You can't use the same one twice. If you're unsure of the question, you can say pass. When we come back, though, if there's time, stepping up today from Warners Bay, we've got Chandler. Hello, Chandler.
How's it going?
Oh, we're fantastic.
Could
Chandler.
Could you be any more Alpha Bucksy? Is that Chandler?
Oh,
that's
I've
Chandler.
Been a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Hey.
And I
here we go.
Through, and I was like, no, I'm not going to get through. And then I was like, hello, are you there? I'm like, oh.
You went through the Minister of War and Finance and you hear
old love.
Producer
Snoozy, old love toe jam.
Here we go. Chandler, what are you going to do with $10,000?
I'm going to definitely book a holiday straight away. Yeah. I already got one booked for the end of start of next year going to Fiji. So.
Nice.
Beautiful. But we need
We need a bit more.
Something in between.
Yeah.
There has to be.
Start of next year so far away, Chandler.
I know.
So, Chandler, what do you do with yourself, Chandler?
Plumber.
Perfect.
Second year plumber.
You're at work right now?
Yeah. Pulled over in the car.
Okay.
Hopefully the boss is not listening.
All right. Quickly, let's get Chandler $10,000.
Yes.
Do you frantically need to buy some stuff today before the end of financial year?
yeah, I could. Could buy some more tools.
Yeah. Chandler, we had Y at 7 a.m.
Yeah, that was
and
average.
We did not go well.
No.
You've got a much more solid letter, my
What's
friend. It's D. D for Dungog. All right?
Yes.
You like D.
Yeah, that's better than Y.
It's solid.
That's
all right.
Good. D is good.
D is good. Your time will start after the first question, Chandler. Here we go. Starting with the letter D. We need you to name a food.
Dorito.
An international city.
Bus.
An emotion.
Drowsy.
A musical instrument.
Drum.
A five-letter word.
Drunk.
An Olympian.
Pass.
A movie about animals.
Pass.
A singer.
Pass.
An occupation.
I don't know.
Damn.
It's all right, you're still going to Fiji, right?
I'm still going to Fiji.
Still going to Fiji.
That's all right. With your own money.
Yeah. Hey, you got him with his own money.
We wish him well.
Yeah. You're going to Fiji! but you also got four. But you got a Rebel training pass and a merch pack, a boutique group fitness studio located just outside Charlestown Square.
So I train Chandler.
Awesome.
Come train with me there, buddy.
Okay, we'll do.
Come train with me.
An international city could have been Dallas, an Olympian, Dawn Fraser, a movie about animals, Dr. Doolittle or Dumbo, a singer, Delta Goodrum or Drizzy
Drake. Drizzy Drake. Chandler strikes me as a Drake fan too.
Yeah, I listen to Drake.
Yeah.
Like the new album?
Yeah, it actually is very good.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
There you go. Oh, unlucky, Channel. It's good to have you on, though, mate.
All good. Thank you, guys.
And good luck with your boss today as well.
All good.
Shout out to Chandler's boss if you're listening.
An old love out there.
Thanks, old love.